You know, many people have discovered that they have sensitivities to gluten and sugar. And our next guest is the author of a new baking cookbook that uses less refined sugar and an ancient wheat. It's called, known as einkorn, E-I-N-K-O-R-N. Larry Mueller here. Thanks again for joining us on the Ideas Network. Diana Conkle is in the studio with me. Her new cookbook is called Baking with Einkorn, Modern Recipes for an Ancient Grain. And it's based on her own journey to better health. And maybe you've had a change in your diet because of sensitivities. How has your baking changed? I hope you'll join in the conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page or our new Facebook page. We hope you'll go there as well and post there. In fact, we'd love to have you do that. Diana Conkle, welcome.
Well, thank you.
It's great to have you with us. Diana, she's a nutritionist, an educator, former restaurant and bakery owner, a host of a TV show, In the Kitchen with Diana. She owned and operated Diana's Confection Connection in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin for 26 years. So you may have sampled some of her wares from that time when she had Diana's Confection Connection. She sold her business, became focused on health, and discovered the negative impacts of some of the hybridized flours and sugar and what they have on the body. So I think that kind of led her to write her book. But again, welcome. And you've been baking for a long time, obviously. Tell us about your background a bit more and what was the confection connection like?
Well, thank you. My background is that I grew up in kitchens in my mother's and grandma's in Iowa, and I loved to bake because they were such great bakers. I went on and got a degree in foods and nutrition and moved to Wisconsin to be a teacher. I taught at Madison La Follette for 4 years, quit to be a stay-at-home mom, and then when our children went off to school, I launched Diana's Confection Connection.
And that was a pretty popular place, and you did well in that.
Well, you know, I was kind of known as the sugar queen of Sun Prairie. Many people, even to this day, even though it's been 12 years since I've sold the business, I will have people come up to me and say, you know, Diana, I really miss your cinnamon rolls, or I have such great memories of coming to your tea room and having lunch with special friends.
Yeah, so even after all these years, well, why'd you sell the business?
Well, I think there's always a time in your life when you know it's time to move on. And there was just something heavy on my heart. I think we were to be grandparents for the first time. My husband had retired from teaching in the Sun Prairie school system, so we had big plans. We were going to retire and see the world. Things changed. As I say in my book, 2 months after I sold my business, my husband got really sick. It was kind of a dark time for us because we had all these plans, and when health gets in your way, it kind of changes your plans.
Yeah.
I started to look at myself during that dark time, and I had realized that I had gained a lot of weight. I was having some digestive issues. I wasn't sleeping as well as I was. And so I decided that I was going to go on a kind of a self-discovery journey, because I didn't want to get where most of our peers were when they reached about 60. It seems as though there was some health issue that they started to have to handle.
And you zeroed in on sugar and flour. How did that happen?
Well, I guess I took a nutrition and wellness course, and I kept reading all the time about processed foods, about the processed ingredients, how things have changed over the 50 years. And I think when I look back to what I grew up with the ingredients, the simple ingredients that were in my mom's and grandma's kitchens, it had in fact changed. I was trying to do as much homemade from scratch baking as I could in my restaurant. However, with the challenges of trying to get more done because more popularity was happening and we got more people wanting things, I think I tended to look at and probably got more processed ingredients to be making my bakery. And so sugar, kind of the buzzword today, kind of started to play with me. It's like, you know, I ate a lot of sugar during those years because I had to sample everything. I had to sample all the things that the girls were producing so that I made sure the customers had a quality product.
Yeah. And you know, you think about sugar. You mentioned somewhere early in the book, I think you talk about sugar, and we think you look at it, an ingredient or at a label, and you see a gram of sugar or 3 grams. 1 gram of sugar, as you say, is how much?
4 teaspoons.
A gram is 4 teaspoons.
Right.
And that led you to, you started to do the math yourself.
I did. And you know, just like I started to read labels. A can of soda. And, you know, I didn't pay attention because I drank soda all afternoon to keep my energy up. There's 39 grams of sugar in 1 can of soda. And then I compounded that by, you know, a bite of a cookie or a slice of a brownie. Or I just started to learn then that there were many other things that sugar was snuck into. So it compounded to the fact that the average person, and this is what I learned in my studies, consumes 22 teaspoons a day. And I thought, I wasn't average. I was probably...
You were above.
I was above.
A can of pop at, what'd you say?
39 grams.
39 grams.
Right.
So it was 40 grams.
Yeah, that's almost 9 teaspoons of sugar in 1 16-ounce can of soda. So that... like I said in my book, was life-changing. I think it kind of like, oh dear, this is where my metabolism got off. This is why I gained all the weight I did. This is why I was having digestive issues. Compounded then on the next piece that I really started to look at was what we have been doing with our modern hybrid wheat.
Yeah.
Another popular product or, you know, supplement or staple that I had in my bakery.
Yeah, and so hybrid wheat is certainly different from the kind of the einkorn that we did. And tell us how.
Well, I guess I learned through my studies and through my journey that einkorn is the first wheat that probably mankind started to harvest, our true staff of life. Einkorn kind of got put on the back burner when we started to hybrid our grains to make them produce more, have better baking characteristics so that they got bigger, better for our feed the world fad that was going on. And when we started to tinker with Mother Nature, we also started to see side effects of what was happening to the human digestive system.
Well, still, you went, I'm going to change my eating habits. What was the hardest part of that?
Well, I think it was, and this is probably what steered me to do my book, because a lot of people say, I'm just not going to have sweets. I'm not going to eat sugar because it's bad. I had too many memories of a birthday celebration with a cupcake or a wedding reception with a cake. And so I guess I made it my passion to see if I could take that which made my footprint in Sun Prairie so popular and try to customize it so that I could make it healthy and better for you.
Yeah. Was it hard, though, to change? I mean,
you
have to be a little more careful pay more attention to things.
Right. But when I said, that red flag of 1 gram is 4 teaspoons, it kind of was like one of those aha moments that I just really couldn't stop thinking about. And it's funny, it's almost, I didn't go cold turkey. What I did is I started to explore some of the popular trends that were going on. I thought, what about sugar-free? What about gluten-free? What about fat-free? And that's when I really got my head around the fact that all of these fads are really just fads. They're just band-aids for trying to make wholesome bakery good enough, better for you that you want to start eating them and buying them.
Yeah. Well, Maddie in De Pere has something for us. Let's go there. Maddie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. About 4 years ago, I heard a doctor on the People's Pharmacy show, and he had written a book called Grain Brain. And he was a neurologist that worked with people who had Alzheimer's, and he had this theory that that the wheat and the sugar was causing a lot of people's people to have more incidence of Alzheimer's. And I was really a sugarholic, and I guess I wasn't all that concerned about how much I weighed, but I sure wanted to protect my brain. So I went cold turkey. I gave up all sugar and wheat, and but now I will allow a little. But anyway, and instead of sugar, I switched to stevia. But you, even with that, you got to watch out for packets that have fillers in it, not just the stevia. And So I dropped from 156 to 127, and I can eat whatever I want to eat, whenever I want to eat, as much as I want to eat, and it just stays there at 127 pounds. And I'm 76, and 3 years ago I biked 1,000 miles in one summer, but now I have a tick disease, so that took me down.
But it sounds like you've had, Maddie, you've had a great life. And a comment from you, Diana?
Well, I really appreciate your message because I've studied Dr. Perlmutter's book a lot. And I think, you know, this is another message that we need to get out there. We need people like you who really listened to his message and started to look at the big picture of what our wellness is. And change our channels, change the way we look at things and how we consume this commodity called sugar.
Yeah. And we're going to learn more about the recipes and about, a lot more about einkorn as well as a grain. We will be taking a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Then we'll be back with Diana Conkle, who is the author of Baking with Einkorn, Modern Recipes for an Ancient Grain. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly. Thanks so much for being with us today here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about baking with less sugar and less gluten on the show today with our guest, Diana Conkle, a former bakery owner who has changed the way she bakes and has written a cookbook about it. It's called Baking with Einkorn, Modern Recipes for an Ancient Grain. Are you familiar with einkorn flour? Have you changed the way you bake because of food sensitivities? Love to hear from you. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, or especially go to our new Facebook page. You can find that on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. I hope you'll do that. And I mean, before I misspoke early in the show, and I want to make sure I get this correct on sugar. When I started to ask a question to Diana, I said, and so 4 grams, 1 teaspoon. 1 gram of sugar equals 4 teaspoons of sugar. 1 gram I'm getting this mixed up. So I'm going to let you go ahead and correct this.
Yes, it's so easy to do when you're kind of put on the test like we are here. So we need to clarify that, and we need to say that 4 grams equals 1 teaspoon. And I really appreciate getting corrected on that because it's awfully easy to turn things around and confuse people even more.
Yeah.
And heaven forbid, we don't need that. So thank you, whoever caught that, because we need to clarify that.
And you were actually doing the math correctly when I was giving examples. So I'm glad. So 4 grams equals 1 teaspoon of sugar. All right, there we go. Let's go to Jan in, well, Jan in Appleton, let's go to you. Hi, Jan, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry, thanks for this awesome show. I was going to go out and trim the bushes, but I had to stay and listen to the show. I am really interested in the einkorn wheat. I've got a health issue, too. Like the last caller, I had to go cold turkey on the wheat and the sugar, and was recently turned on the einkorn wheat. But I'm just wondering where you purchase. Where does the you know, the where is there a retail for einkorn wheat? I know that there's a brand called Jovial. Is that the brand that you use?
Actually, that's one of the brands I use. It is available online, jovialfoods.com. This is heartwarming to me, though, because when I started to put my book out there, I actually went to a health food store in Sun Prairie, and they willingly brought Jovial right to Sun Prairie. Mm. Also, the Hy-Vee on East Washington, Hy-Vee number one
in Madison
carries it.
So it's something you can ask for at your local grocery. I've done that at my local grocery, and I've had success.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we'll order that. We can get that.
And particularly like in the health and wellness portions of, say, a larger grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I already have Amazon up here ready to go.
Oh, sure.
Book.
Sure.
Thank you, Jan.
I will. Very good. Thank you very much.
Let's go back to einkorn. Talk about this grain for us.
Well, in the journey that I was on, I discovered that einkorn is probably the first wheat that mankind discovered. It grew kind of scattered over the Mediterranean, and it was harvested just in its innocence with the whole grain. It was very easily digested. It had a lot of nutrition, and I think to the history lovers, it probably was the staff of life as far as getting vibrant fiber as well as all kinds of nutrition to health and wellness.
Well, and I should say that you have brought some bread, which I haven't tried yet, but I will, believe me. And you've also brought three different cookies made with... Talk about those cookies. They're really, really good.
Well, I call this kind of my fall treat box. I have snickerdoodles, I have ginger snaps, and I have party time. And what I have done, I took, like I said, 50 of the recipes that I had at Confection Connection, which were my most popular ones.
Yeah.
And I kind of like reformulated them. My goal was to cut the sugar in half, because you do need a little bit of sugar in order to enhance the flavor. But I found that so many recipes have way too much sugar, and it can be enjoyed by just cutting the recipe in half.
And these are plenty sweet. I mean, they're not at all. I wouldn't know that they're...
Right. That's what warms my heart, too, because I think other people, as they have been doing the taste testing that I've been sharing, is that the whole grain of that einkorn is incorporated in that recipe. And so we are getting the bran, the fiber, and the endosperm in our finished product. And so we are tasting flavor. We are tasting nutrition. This is another thing that people say, you know, I can just eat one cookie and be satisfied.
Not me. I've already had four cookies.
I hesitated when I said that, but I think I've had a lot of people say, and I was, you know, a victim of that, I'd stir up a batch of chocolate chip cookies and I'd eat half of them before they went to the dinner table. That being said, you are in a different setting, so it's okay that you sampled more.
Well, I'm glad to have that permission for sure, because I'm probably going to have at least another one before the show's over. Is it hard to work with einkorn?
Well, einkorn has a little bit different personality because it is less processed, because it doesn't have all the chemical concoctions that our modern processing and harvesting does to the grain. It doesn't absorb liquids and fats like our modern wheat does. And so I've had to adjust the amount of fats and liquids that go into a recipe. So I kind of had three things I was working on. I was working on looking at the fat content, the liquid content, and then at the same time, I was changing the sugar. And a lot of people say, well, sugar is what makes it brown. Sugar is what gives it texture. Sugar gives it sweetness. But I was pleasantly surprised how I think just the marrying of this real grain with sugar, not substitutes, but sugar alternatives, as far like honey and maple syrup. And another one that I really fell in love
with. Still sugar, but it's
still sugar. And we have to say that because a lot of people say, well, I'm still getting sugar. Yes, you are, but you're getting half the amount that you did, say, in the snickerdoodle, the ginger snap, or the party time that you're enjoying here.
That's the best ginger snap I've ever eaten. I've never a fan of ginger snaps, to be honest, but these I absolutely love. And that recipe's in your
it is
mm-hmm. in your book.
I'll have to tell you the sugar that I used was coconut sugar. You ever heard of coconut sugar?
I did when I read your book, yeah. And I hadn't heard about it otherwise.
That really intrigued me, and it's kind of like one of my star ingredients. Coconut sugar comes from the coconut. The way it's processed, it actually has kind of a brown sugar texture and taste. The thing that really intrigued me was, if you look at the nutrition, it is somewhat lower on the glycemic index, mm-hmm. but please don't mistake me, it still is sugar.
Yeah.
However, I could use so much less. For example, a lot of recipes call for a cup of brown sugar. I got by using a fourth of a cup.
Of the coconut sugar.
Of the coconut sugar versus our traditional brown sugar.
Wow. Well, I can tell you it's still plenty sweet and very delicious. Clyde in Black River Falls, we'll give you a chance. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. Let me give you a quick little background, and then I think I got a couple of suggestions that might make some sense. I'm almost 70 years old, and I grew up on a truck farm in northern Minnesota. We had two heated greenhouses, and we raised all our fruits and vegetables, many of the fruits, strawberries, raspberries, things like that, and all our vegetables, we canned them and we froze them. And I want to say that if we taught people how to think and not what to think, so that their options would be increased, because we learn by example. And all the products that are out there today that have chemically modified or chemically induced sugars and sweeteners, people get into these habits and they're hard to get out of. Bless her heart, I had a sister passed away of pancreatic cancer this last December, and she was a sugar addict, I believe, all her life. And I won't even go into how much sugar she ate, but it was atrocious. But sugar is much more dangerous for you than salt. But if the Food and Drug Administration didn't have all these lobbyists beating down their necks, all these chemicals and all these foods, all these substitutes for sugar, they should be banned. They're causing cancers of all different kinds.
Well, what do you think? And thanks, Clyde, for calling. Comment, Diana?
Well, you're really on my page. I mean, the more you start getting inside what drives our food and bakery items, the more upset you get as to what's happened. And here's the passion, I guess, and the purpose I have is helping people become aware of exactly what you're saying, to start reading those labels and start understanding what really is in the products that you're buying. And don't be fooled by some of the clever marketing tricks that are put on these labels that we innocently buy and go home and think we're eating healthy.
Let's thank you again, Clyde, for calling. I want to give Joel in Milwaukee a chance to join us. Joel, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me. I have a question for you and your guest. Whenever I have a sweet tooth or craving, I go for fruit. And I find that just makes me feel better, and I try to stay away from baked goods or what have you. Now, am I doing as much damage to my body by eating fruit? Or because I know it's natural sugars and whatnot, and but I was just curious what your guest had to say.
Well, I think that's a twofold answer. Fruit has sugar. It also has fiber. And when the digestive system has fiber incorporated in its energy that's sustaining our system, it actually is absorbed slower. The fructose, which is in natural fruit, is also more easily recognized and metabolized by your liver. So what you're saying is that you feel satisfied is a good thing.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling. So, yeah, for sure. Eat the fruit. Eat the veggies that also have sugars in them as well. Carrots, for I guess, would be a good example of a vegetable that has sugars in
Again,
it.
Again, you know, you can overdo on fruits. You can overdo on one that's kind of a red flag is the dried fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Because dried fruits, of course, have concentrated sugar. And so are dried fruits, cranberries, prunes, dates, raisins, all are going to have more than just say the fresh, but still, again, it's a better choice. Everything in moderation, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And someone called and wanted you to repeat, Diana, that einkorn is not gluten-free, and you make that clear in
right.
your book.
And I think this is a message that I really want to get out there, too, that I'm discovering that gluten in its own entity probably isn't the total reason that we're having these sensitivities and intolerances. Gluten kind of gets a bad name because it's been marketed, and a lot of people say when they quit eating something that has gluten in it, they feel better. But I kind of talk about in my book that it's really about the way we've made that seed change, the way we raise it, the way we harvest it, the way we process it, the way we bake with it, and how many times a day we're eating it that's actually compounding the side effects that we're having, that we have these issues with sensitivity and intolerance.
Yeah. Well, let's, you know, we've kind of talked around the book, but you haven't had a chance to really describe what's all in the book. So why don't you take a couple of minutes and talk about that?
Great. Well, it's more really than a cookbook, because I did, first of all, tell my story, which we've sort of summarized here. I also have some chapters in the beginning talking about flour, talking about how and why I discovered einkorn, and some tips on how to buy it and to bake with it. Another chapter, I talk about sugar, the fact that it's got some issues that we need to look at and maybe revisit some of the quantities that we're consuming. I have another chapter on color. There's a lot of red flags going up with the artificial coloring and flavoring that's put in our bakery items today. So the last chapter before the recipes actually is a pantry makeover. I kind of go through and I discuss all the ingredients that are included in my recipes, and kind of help you go through your pantry, start to read the labels, and start to maybe one ingredient at a time, switch out those that aren't so good, and then choose better for you.
So, and, you know, you do talk about, and this whole business, I'm glad, you know, this caller wanted to you to mention it's not entirely gluten-free.
Right.
There is, I think, a fair amount of confusion out there today about gluten-free. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. It's
right.
$16 billion
right.
industry, isn't it?
Right. I think it's just another Band-Aid for something that's deeper than that. And again, it, you know, when we look at how our ancestors enjoyed grains, we weren't seeing the digestive issues and all the sensitivities that are flaring up. I think the thing that really is a red flag is the way this modern wheat is hybrid, that we're enhancing the gluten characteristics so we get a bigger, better bakery product. And another one that really upsets me is the fact that when they harvest it, Roundup or glyphosate is actually sprayed on the crop to kill the weeds and then to make those little kernels really burst with fullness so that they can get a bigger crop. And I think that word glyphosate is kind of a red flag that we are seeing too much, and our bodies can't handle it.
Kathy in Watertown has something for you. Hi, Kathy. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you. Say, Diana, I had a question about what your thoughts are for Ezekiel bread or the sprouted grain breads that you can get in the freezer section of the grocery stores. Is that considered healthy grains, or is that marketing?
No, I think Ezekiel, in my experience, and this is only mine because I'm not a doctor, I can't diagnose, but I think when we look at the effort that Ezekiel brand is putting in their grains, it is like the next best or the best thing that you can buy in the grocery store.
Okay.
When the grains are sprouted, as theirs are, the enzymes that are in those grains are actually activated so that the digestive system actually receives it in a more digestible way.
Okay.
So I guess I was on your page before I discovered Einkorn, mm-hmm. and before I started to bake and try to encourage the whole world to maybe get back in their kitchens and try to bake, because so many people, it's like, I don't have time to bake. And when I do bake, I don't have the right recipe, or it doesn't turn out. So, yeah, I think Ezekiel is, you're on the right page.
That's good to know, because in Watertown, there's a couple of different places to buy it, and one place is pretty expensive, and one place is not quite so expensive, but either way, it's a lot more expensive than what you get, but
well,
I believe
you get what
in the quality.
Yep, you get what you pay for, and that's
exactly
the problem, that our food industry has tried to cheapen things, and cheap is not...
always the best.
Always the best.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the answer, and I'm really enjoying the show.
All right. Thanks so much for calling. I wanted to mention with Einkorn, you talk about the storage, and that has to be a little different than what you're used to.
Yeah, this is very key. The way that this Einkorn is milled, it is stone ground, so that means the entire kernel, the wheat, the bran, and the germ, has been put in that product. The germ has fat, and the fat can get rancid. And so, consumer beware, that is, that you don't want to just store it in your pantry. It's going to stay fresh and not stale if you keep it in the refrigerator or the freezer.
So you can put it either place.
Absolutely.
Can you pull it out of the freezer and use it right away?
I do. Yep, I do.
Oh, so there's no problem there.
I guess I'll have to admit that I see no problem. Yeah.
Okay, and how long will it store?
I guess I haven't kept it long enough, because I have just been so passionate about, well, first developing these recipes, and then secondly, once I share them, people just want more, so I just keep buying and baking.
And you've got the recipes include across a pretty broad range.
Right. I've got cookies, I have pies, I have cupcakes. I have yeast. I have, like, the loaf of bread we brought you, our popular cinnamon rolls I've converted into healthier for you. I've got a chapter on better snacking and treats. And this, my last chapter, I also kind of summed it up. It's called, like, different kind of fun things out of the ordinary. I've got pizza. I've got graham crackers, regular crackers, cereal, things that a lot of people go, oh, you're crazy. I'm not going to make them. But I think when you get in that kitchen and you start discovering the quality, the taste, and the health that it's bringing you, it's almost like a new hobby that you discover, that it's actually self-satisfying to meet success.
Well, I'm going to have to try your artichoke, tomato, and spinach Einkorn pizza.
Yes.
Because that sounds really good to me. And you've made all these.
Absolutely.
So we don't have to, and a lot of people have tasted them.
Well, I guess that's the piece that warms my heart, too, because a lot of people just say it's just another one of those gimmicks. But I think I've realized that there's actually something to that, and that better for you actually tastes better.
And you will be speaking on September 26th from noon to 1 at the Madison Senior Center on West Mifflin. In the meantime, Diana, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Diana Conkle is the author of Baking with Einkorn, Modern Recipes for an Ancient grain, modern recipes for an ancient grain featuring better for you ingredients. Great to have her along. And thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. We have lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.